Well, it is indeed a joy to be back at Fairview Memorial again tonight. Such a wonderful pleasure to see all of you. I think of all of you quite often, and I thank the Lord for you and for the good work that you do here at Fairview Memorial. Brother Miller came by the house, was it yesterday or Friday? Friday, what? Friday. And he said, "What are you doing Sunday night?" I said, "Well, nothing that I know of." And he said, "Well, would you like to preach over at Fairview Memorial Sunday night?" And I said, "Well, if you want me to, I will." And he said, "I want you to." So I'm here, and I thank you for the invitation. And I'm so thrilled to see so many of you. Appreciate Brother and Sister Siddons coming tonight. They are faithful supporters of not only the church at New Bethel, but they're faithful supporters of their pastor. And they go lots of places where I go, and I appreciate them doing that. And I feel the need of the help of God tonight. I've been trying to preach now. I'm in my 60th year. That does not make me an expert. I'm no authority. This is the authority that I preach. And it's my sincere desire every time I preach or try to preach that I will be true to the Word of God. I try to be. And I want you all to pray for me tonight as I stand before you. I enjoy singing with some of the folks from Fairview Memorial as well. On Tuesdays, I sing with Brother Wayne and Sister Jeannie and the LaCostas and Sister Corsi. And we enjoy going to Chandler Park and to Magnolia Village and sing. And I appreciate them letting me sing with them. And they treat me just like I was still a member at Fairview Memorial, and I appreciate that. But it's amazing when we sing out at Magnolia Village, some of those people out there, the disease that they have is one of the most horrific diseases that I think I know of. Many of them perhaps don't even know their names and perhaps don't know their own families. But when we sing the old hymns of the church, they sing with us. And that's just amazing. And I'm glad to be a little part of that. If you have your Bible tonight and you'd like to follow along as I read, I want to read from the 5th chapter of 2 Peter. I'd like to begin at verse 8, and I'll possibly read the remaining verses of that chapter. 2 Peter chapter 5 and verse, what did I say? Let me start all over. 2 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying this. I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elect, together with you, salute you. And so doeth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, to the best of my ability, I read these verses of Scripture for a lesson tonight. And I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to take a thought from this 12th verse that I read in your hearing. The Apostle Peter, as he was writing to these Christian people that were scattered throughout different parts of the world at that time, he said, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. And I want to talk about the true grace of God. Now, we all know the Bible says that by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And I suppose if you visited most every church in Bowling Green, that you would... And you inquired about the plan of salvation, I suppose most every church would say, well, you're saved by grace through faith. But sometimes people present the grace of God in a way that is not the true grace of God. It is presented in a way that is really false. There are a group of people in the world today that are known as sovereign grace people. And they believe that if you have been elected back in eternity before the world began to be saved, that eventually you will be saved, you know. And it's all the work of God, you know. God has elected you to salvation, so you'll be saved. There are others that would preach and say, yes, you're saved by grace through faith. But to really make it to heaven, you know, you have to be obedient. And if you're not obedient, you won't make it. And yet they preach that as being salvation by grace. And I'm affirming tonight that neither one of those positions are the true grace of God. You know, God, the Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And I believe that. God has made His grace available to every individual that has ever lived in the world. But you know, He also... requires that we choose. You know, when God made man, He made him a free agent. He gave him the liberty of choice. You can choose to seek the Lord and get saved, or you can choose to reject the Lord and die and go to hell. And if you make the wrong choice, you're going to die and go to hell. You know, the Bible said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. And so the plan of salvation is totally by grace. I believe that you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. I don't think you have to add anything to that. God made the plan of salvation. He said, whosoever believeth in Jesus will receive the remission of sins, will be born of the Spirit, and will be a child of God. And I don't believe there's any other way to become a child of God. You can't become a child of God by being baptized. You can't become a child of God through works that you may do. And once you become a child of God, there's nothing that you can do that will prevent you or remove you from the family of God. So I want to present the true grace of God tonight, if He will help me. Now, some of you may have heard something already in this service that you've never heard before. I doubt it, but you may have. But God's grace, He is sufficient. God is the God of all grace. I read that in your hearing right here in the 10th verse. It says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, that ye a while make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. Now, we live in a world. This world was created for the habitation of men. The Bible tells us that in the book of Psalms. The heaven of heavens is the Lord's. But the earth was created for the habitation of men. And God, you know, He created the world perfect. But sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the world through the disobedience of one man. And because of his disobedience, all of us were made sinners. And we don't have a choice about being sinners. You know, Adam, I can't hardly preach without referring to this sometimes. But, you know, Adam was created in a righteous state. He had never sinned. He didn't know what sin was. He had perfect communion with God, but he broke the law of God. And when he broke the law of God, he became a transgressor, or he became a sinner. Now, when he was made, upright. Nothing in the world wrong with him. But he, of his own voluntary will, transgressed the law of God and became a sinner. And then when his children were born, they were born in the likeness and image of Adam. And they were little sinners. I've said this lots of times. You know, little babies are sweet little things, you know. And they're very lovable, but they're little sinners. And it's hard for people to realize and acknowledge that sometimes. Some people refer to them as little angels. Your children are not little angels. They're little sinners. That's what they are. And when they grow up, they're going to have to make the choice one of these days. Do I seek the Lord for salvation, or do I reject the gospel and go on in my sins? And that's a choice that everybody has to make. And so, talking about the grace of God. Now, he said that God called us, and he does call. You know, I don't think there are any that he does not call to repentance. I believe that God, through the gospel, I believe he calls men to repentance. We must hear the word of God. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call upon him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And so Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so God provides through the gospel the information that every sinner must hear in order to be saved. You must hear that you're a sinner. that you're condemned, that you're lost, and you're separated from God. You must hear that God has provided a way for you to be saved. And that way is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God calls us, to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this says that the God of all grace hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And He says, after you have suffered a while. Now, we live in a world where there's sin on every hand. There is sickness, there is sorrow, there's pain, there's death. All of that is the result of sin. Every bit of it is the result of sin. And Job said in the 14th chapter of Job, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know, we live in a world where there's trouble. There is sickness and there is suffering and all of these things. And Christians are not exempted from it. You know, some of the best people that you ever will know have suffered terribly before the Lord released them from their body and took them home. But God has called us to glory, to His eternal glory. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's no other way. If any other way is presented except and through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not the pure gospel. It's not the pure grace of God. You see, God provided a Savior for us. And the Bible says there's none other name given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. It's come to Jesus. Come to Jesus in faith. Come to Jesus trusting in what He did on the cross of Calvary for salvation, or it's eternal damnation. One or the other. It's just that simple. But I want to talk to you about this just for a few minutes. Now, he said, my subject is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Now, those of us who have been saved, we have a standing with God. We have a standing in the favor of God. We are God's children, you see. We have been saved and we have been sealed. Saved and sealed until the day of redemption. We have a standing. There's nothing in the world that can break that seal. My friend, now the standing that we have is in the true grace of God. And so there is a way to get into that grace. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way it comes. By whom? That is, by Him. We have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I want to talk about access just for a minute. I access this building tonight through that front door over there. You know, there's more than one door to this building, but there's not more than one door to salvation. There's just one door, and it is through that door that you have access into the grace of God, the grace that you stand in after you have been saved. You know, Jesus made this statement in the 10th chapter of the book of John. Jesus said, I am the door. He said in the 14th chapter of John, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. You see, He is the access. If you get to God, you'll have to come to Him through Jesus. You know, sinners cannot approach the holy God of heaven. You know, we do not have access because we're sinners, we're defiled, we're polluted. We are not right in the sight of God. And so we can't just walk in. You know, somebody wrote a song, said, I'm going to walk right in, sit right down, you know, and talk with the Lord. Well, if you've been saved by God's grace through Jesus Christ, you can. But if you haven't been, you can't do it. There's no other access. Jesus is the door. Now, he said, by me, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. While we're living in this world, we have this standing with the Lord. We suffer sometimes. We suffer, but we do not lose our standing with God. He saves us because we trust in His Son who paid the atoning sacrifice for sin. I'm maybe getting a little bit ahead of myself. I wanted to talk about that before I get done. But I want you to think about that access. We turn over here in the book of Ephesians just for a moment. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, he talked about what we used to be and what we are now. And it's a wonderful story. You know, the Jews were God's chosen people. They were not all saved. They were chosen as a nation. A lot of them were not saved. Many of them were not saved. But He chose the nation to represent Him in the world. And they were known as the people of God. And all the rest of the nations were known as heathens. They were heathens. And God gave to the Jews the law. He gave to them the commandments. Those that were a part of that, saved or unsaved, were recognized as the people of God. But I'm telling you that the true Israel and the true people of God are those that have come to God through Jesus and have been saved. That's the true Israel, the true people of God. But anyway, he was writing this to a Gentile people, and he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. You were dead as far as God is concerned. Not physically, but you were separated from Him. Separated from Him by sin. And that's what happens in the life of every person. When we become accountable for our sins, we're separated from God. And we're lost. And we're, as far as He is concerned, we're dead in trespasses and in sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ in regeneration gives us life, don't He? He regenerates. You know, when a child is born, life is generated in that child. I believe it starts at conception. You can believe what you want. But anyway, God generates life in that child. And then when you reach the years of accountability, you come separated from God. But when you come back to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you repent of your sins and you trust in Jesus, He regenerates. He generates life again in you. And that life is eternal life. It is not temporary. It's not temporary eternal life. You don't have it for a little while and then lose it. It's eternal life. It's everlasting. From the moment that you receive eternal life from the Lord Jesus, it will last forever. It will last through all of time, through all of the suffering that you have, through all the trouble, all the heartaches, everything you have to go through, it will last. And then when you die, Your body dies, but your soul does not die. It is carried by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. And you know, and there, in the presence of the Lord, we'll be forever, won't we? Everlasting life, regenerated life. And so Paul says, you were dead in trespasses and in sins, but he said he has quickened you. He made you alive. And then he goes on and talk about how they were without God. They were aliens. They were without Christ. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenant of promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. Now that's a sad shape to be in. But he says, but now in Christ Jesus, everything about salvation goes through Jesus. Everything. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. Jesus is our peace. And then he goes on down a little further, and he says this. For through him, we both, the Jews and the Gentiles, all men everywhere, all races of people, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just mention another verse or two of Scripture. Ephesians 3 and 11 and 12 says that it's according to God's eternal purpose in Christ that we have boldness and access. You know, we have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've already said I'm the door, so I'm not going to rehash that. But when you stop and think about how we were before we were saved, we were just like Adam was. Adam was naked before God and hid himself. And God placed a flaming cherub at the entrance to the garden to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, that was not to keep people away from the tree of life. That was to ensure that they came the only way that there is to get to it. I believe that everyone has access to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way there is. And the way is open. The way has been made. And the way is available to everyone who will come. So, Jesus, He is our Redeemer. He is our Redeemer. He redeemed us. We were slaves to sin. Couldn't get free. No way to get free. No access to God until Jesus came. And I'm saying to you that Jesus paid the price of our redemption. This same writer that I read from, he said that you are redeemed, you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Jesus stood as a Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And it's through Him that we have access to God. We have forgiveness. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, he said we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. He forgives us. Not because of how good we are or everything that we've done, but He forgives us for Jesus' sake. Jesus paid the price of our redemption. He died the death that we should die. He died alone. You say, well, there's a lot of people around, standing around watching. They might have been, but he died alone. Jesus, in the darkness of noonday, darkness was upon the face of the earth from 12 noon until 3 in the afternoon. And Jesus cried out in the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, there was a reason for that. He had our sins upon him. He was bearing our sins in his body on the tree. And God is of purer eyes than to look upon sin. That is, favorably. He sees all our sins. He saw the sins of the antediluvian world. He saw the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sins came up before him, but he did not look favorably upon them. He condemned them. And so the Lord Jesus, as he died, he was bearing our sins in his body on the cross. And so God turned from him and he turned to us. I believe that he died the death that every one of us should have died without God. Without God. But because he died for us, and because we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins, we don't have to die alone. God's children do not die alone. I believe that he's with them. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I believe that when the time comes for God's children to die, I believe the Lord is right there with them. And I believe that the angels of the Lord bear our souls to that fair country where people don't die. And so, we have peace with God through Jesus. We have peace with God. He's our mediator. He is. He's our mediator. He's the daysman that Job spoke about in the Old Testament. He said, I'm not equal with God. I could turn over and read that, but I'll let you all look it up. It's in Job 9:33. He said his friends was accusing him of being a sinner, doing things that he shouldn't have done. That's why he was suffering like he was, and there was no truth in that. But anyway, Job said, I'm not equal with God. I can't come to him, you know, on a level playing field. I'm nowhere close to being like God is. Said, I need a daysman. Somebody will take him by the hand up there and take me by the hand down here and bring us together. And that's what he done. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, he's our advocate. We get in trouble sometimes, don't we? But I'm glad that Jesus appears in the presence of God for us. Now, I'm going to close, but I want to give you this. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle John said, little children, I started it, but I can't finish it, so I'll read it. I still thank the Lord that I have a copy of the Bible. My memory does fail me. It's getting worse. Mabel says it's because I'm an old man. Now, she may be partly right. But anyway, sometimes I forget. But thank the Lord. So far, I haven't forgotten where to find it. He said, my little children, these things write I unto thee, that you sin not. But if any man sin, He has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, folks, I believe that I preach the true gospel to you tonight. Not bragging. I ain't got nothing to brag about. I'm just, somebody said we ought not to say we're sinners saved by grace. But why not? That's what we are. Yeah, we're saints too. If you get the right definition of saints, God's children are saints. Now, I can't make a man a saint, and the Pope can't either. No, he can't either. Only one person can make a man a saint, and that's Jesus Christ. And so we're saints, and I'm so glad and thankful for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the pure gospel. I would not want to contaminate it. I wouldn't tell a person, you don't have to worry about nothing. If you've been elected, God will take you to heaven. I wouldn't tell a person that. No, neither would I tell a person, well, you've heard the gospel, you believed on Jesus, you've been baptized, and then now if you live good enough, you can keep it. That's not gospel. That's not gospel. But God, I'll give you one more verse and I will close. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. The day I got saved, the Lord made a reservation for me over there. And I'm going someday. But he said, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last day. If you all don't believe I'm saved, you just show up in heaven one of these days. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. Thank you for letting me come tonight. I love this church. I love every one of you. You've meant so much to me. Meant so much to my life. I'll never forget you. As long as I live, I'll never forget you. And I covet your prayers as I try to serve the Lord wherever the Lord leads me. Brother Miller.